He would devote a whole book in the New Testament to that very thought. Well, we've come to as believers, know the joy of serving Him, hopefully in a local assembly and serving with others. I hope those days have been filled with great joy. You've seen God at work in you and through you. You've enjoyed the deep love of Christ through your brothers and sisters in Him. They've extended that to you. I'm hoping that's the case. There's a connection certainly between us. We've been bought with the blood of Christ. And as we grow in the Lord, as we continue to labor, and as you grow in Christ and you've lived the Christian life, at some point, I shouldn't say at some point, certainly it's happened, you've offended someone, someone's offended you. We live in a world that's fractured and broken, don't we? And we see at times in the life of the believer where forgiveness hasn't been extended, where offenses haven't been taken care of. And that has turned them into, at times, somebody that they ought not to be. When you serve in a local church, as you labor with your brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a fact that there will be conflict at times. Now, God has dealt with us so kindly and graciously as to help us to consider how it is we deal with that. That's what this book is about, in part. It's about extending forgiveness. It's about reconciliation. Forgiveness and the reconciliation that follow must be a way of life for you and I. If we're going to move forward, if we're going to have peace, if we're going to have joy in serving, if we're going to be who God has called us to be, reconciliation has to be a priority in our life. And that's what I want to challenge you with today in that very thought. We need to live in harmony and unity with one another, centered on the cross of Christ and the fact that we've been forgiven through Him. We too take note that God the Father's heart was to reconcile us to Himself. He's done that through faith in Christ. And we, as brothers and sisters, if we're going to serve in peace and joy and unity, this thought of reconciliation has to be not only on our hearts, but it has to be practiced. It has to be a part of our experience here on this side of heaven. He begins here, Paul does, with that. I believe that's one of the thoughts he has here. But he begins to look at that, and he mentions that he and Philemon. Remember, the book of Philemon, is a slave owner. A very common thing in that point in time, the early church. Philemon's a slave owner. Onesimus is a runaway slave. Onesimus left his master. He's taken off from Colossae to Rome. And at Rome, he just so happens to run into this guy named Paul. And Paul has the opportunity to lead him to Christ. He goes back, Onesimus does, he's sent back by Paul to his slave owner Philemon. And that's what this whole book is about. Paul's desiring that they might come together, be reconciled, and then go forward with the Lord in serving. So, here we are. If you then regard me a partner, accept Onesimus as you would me. Verse 17, verse 18. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And then Paul goes on to talk about he's writing with his own hand, but he's sending this personally. But his message here is this: accept Onesimus as you would me. Philemon, I want you to treat him with open arms just like you would me. That's a radical call, isn't it? Because here's a slave that's coming back, and he could just, Philemon could respond in a lot of ways. But as a brother in Christ to Paul, and now a brother to Onesimus, he's called to respond in grace. Verse 12, Paul says in this same book, I have sent him back to you, that's Onesimus, in person, that is sending my very heart. And here Paul is, and he's looking, Philemon is, and he's looking at this man Onesimus, and I believe he's reading this letter. Now, it's certainly, they could have read the letter sometime before, but I believe he's right before him. And if it's not at that time, it's sometime. These two men are going to be before one another. And there's been an offense. There's been an offense that really could cost Onesimus his life. The law would allow that. A runaway slave. And he's cost Philemon something. For him to leave, Philemon's got to replace him. I think there's work that has been lost, and it seems that Onesimus has certainly stolen from his master Philemon as well. Paul says, if he owes you anything, charge that to my account. And there's certainly an allowance for that if it's been made. So he's saying to Onesimus, accept him as you would me. You know, there's no reason for you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ to think, well, since that person has this title as a believer, I will treat him in whatever way. Or since that person, you know, they've socially, their standing isn't so great or whatever, I'm going to sort of turn my back on that person. We're one in Christ. As brothers and sisters, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. That's how we came, as sinners. So we need to extend grace and forgiveness to everyone. We need to be just as gracious with a person of, we might say, of low standing as one who you might think of as with a very powerful standing. Paul says, accept him as you would me. If you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. If he's wronged you, verse 18, in any way, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Do you see the heart of the apostle here and then the heart of God? Paul's saying, whatever it takes to open the door for reconciliation, whatever it costs me, I will do that in order that this brother, who is now a brother of yours, this runaway slave, who is now your brother, that you and him might be reconciled. Do you know this? That you and I need to be people who encourage others. Not only are we be responsible to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters, to extend forgiveness where it's needed, to make sure that we're honest in our hearts, to accept the fact when we sin against someone and call it what it is. Not only are we called to do that, you and I are called to make sure that we're doing everything we can. When you know that there's an offense that's been made and you have a brother or sister or two brothers or two sisters where they're not on the same page and they need to be reconciled, you and I need to be that person that says, you know what? God would have you guys get together. He would have you square this thing out. You and I need to be encouraging the body of Christ to be reconciled wherever and whenever they can be. I have to tell you that it's a debt, I believe, that we all need to consider. We've been forgiven much. We need to forgive much. But we also need to see to it, as we operate within the body of Christ, that everything that can be done for reconciliation where it needs to be done is done. And that's where Paul's heart's at. That's the heart of God, that you be reconciled. As I go through this, I have to tell you, as I live my life and as I've been a believer for a long time, as I've been a pastor now, this message is so pertinent to today because I see Christians at times that have not dealt with issues. And the easy thing is, isn't it, to put it under the rug, to just sweep it under the rug. That's the easy thing. But you know what? At some point, somebody comes and looks under the rug. And whatever's under that rug piles up. And you and I, we're not created by God to just sweep it under the rug. That's why the cross is there, my friend, to be dealt with, so that we can go forth in harmony. I one time worked with an individual, and his heart was this. If someone offends me once, I'll forgive him, but I'll never do it a second time. He took that into his marriage. I probably don't have to tell you what happened with that marriage. It wasn't a good thing. But you know what? In our own pride, sometimes deep within we say, oh, God, I'll even score here. I'll take care of this. When we need to release that to the Lord and follow where He's at with it. Friends, you're going to carry a huge weight If you know that you need to seek reconciliation, if you know you need to forgive and you don't, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Can you release that one into God's care? I hope you can. Because I have to tell you, just as well as, you know that there's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. When that happens in reconciliation, when that happens in forgiveness, there's repentance, and then there's this reconciliation and forgiveness that takes place. Let me tell you, heaven is shouting hallelujah, and we ought to be too. And it's a great place to be. Paul says, you know what? I'm willing to do anything that you two men might be reconciled. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? If you need reconciliation, if there's others that you know of that need to be reconciled, how far are you willing to go to do that? I don't think there's a price that's too heavy to pay to see them reconciled. Paul says, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. He's saying, you know, whatever that offense is, whatever that amount of money is, whatever the damage is, I'm going to repay it. In that light, when you see that, it reminds me of something. It reminds me of one of the reasons that this must be foremost in our minds, because God has reconciled us to himself. Jesus Christ, his Son, has made a payment. He's made the adjustment. He's paid the difference that we might be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is how he did it. He made him, that is the Father, made him who knew no sin, the Son. The Father made the Son to become sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, when you come to faith in Christ, God does something for you. It's called imputed righteousness. That is, the righteousness of Christ then becomes your righteousness. That's how it is that God can accept the believing sinner into his presence. See, heaven is in heaven there will be no sin. You and I, when we've come to Christ, the righteousness that is Christ is placed on our account. Paul says, if Philemon owes you something, I'll pay it. God said there's a great debt to be paid. My Son has paid it. When you come to faith in him, his righteousness is granted to you. That's how it is that we come to know Christ. He gave his life a ransom or a payment for many. So there's a picture of that at work there as well. And that kind of stuff ought to just feed your soul toward reconciliation, forgiveness, repentance, all of that. He goes on to say, Philemon, you owe me your life. And he's challenging him. He's challenging him. He built him up. Remember that first time we looked at this? With wholesome words, good words, words that were true, words that lifted up a brother in Christ. Paul did that. He moved on. Last week we looked at this whole situation, and he's making this appeal to him. Philemon, I'm making an appeal. I could order you to do this. But Paul wanted it to come from his heart. He wanted him to be reconciled. And as an apostle, he could have said, Philemon, God placed me in this position. I'm telling you what to do here. He didn't do that. He really went after Philemon's heart. He said, I'm going to make an appeal to you. You've ministered to the saints. You've been a tremendous brother in Christ. I believe you'll do what's right. And Paul keeps moving that way, and there's this gentle urging of the Spirit. And Philemon recognizes it, I believe. Paul's saying, you owe me your own life. I believe Paul led Philemon to Christ. Boy, that ought to really stir an individual when you think about how God has been so gracious to bring someone in your life to move you to the point where you've understood the gospel and you've been forgiven. That really ought to move us to think toward forgiveness and reconciliation, shouldn't it? What moves us? That ought to move us. I think when Philemon received this letter, that was really something for him to consider. And then verse 20, yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And Paul's saying, minister to me. As you respond, as you ought to, minister to me. That will minister to my heart. You know, as we work together and I hear the work of what God is doing and I see that work within the body of Christ, when we speak positively about God's labor in some way and changing a life, does it not minister to your soul? We had a wonderful opportunity last week to see God at work through couples and desiring to be godly men and women, parents, fathers and mothers. And as I was up here thinking about that, and my mind goes a lot of places at times, it really hit me. God is so good. God is so good, and His work is so wonderful. And we see it at times. There's a lot we don't see. Granted, there's a lot we don't see. But when He allows us to get a glimpse into what He's doing, what does that minister to my heart? It just ministers to my heart. It does, I believe it does you as well. But speak well of Him. Look for where He's working. By the way, I'm just going to put a plug in here right now for tonight. Our worship service tonight is going to be singing. It's going to be scripture. It's going to be speaking of what God has done and what God is doing. We're going to boast in the Lord tonight for our evening service. You need to be there. You will be blessed. Well, this whole thing is about reconciliation. And I've challenged you with this thought, but that for the life of the believer, reconciliation ought to be a way of life. It ought to be a concern. It ought to be high on our list of priorities. Paul just finishes then with this letter with some future plans and speaks of mutual friends. Look at verse 22 and following. At the same time also, prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. I've said there's this push, I believe, and this urging by the Holy Spirit through Paul for Philemon to make sure you get this right. Make sure it happens. Paul, in essence, is saying in verse 22, Philemon, make sure you get the spare room set up for me, because hopefully by God's grace I'm going to stop by and see you. You suppose that would prompt him to think about this whole reconciliation situation? What if God said, hey, or Lord Jesus, you've been challenged with this thought. Listen, I'll be stopping by next week. You know where I've been working in your heart, and I'll be looking for an update. You'll have that house cleaned. There'll be nothing under the rug, will there? In your soul, you would have been challenged to do what's right. The truth is, friends, He is going to show up one day, isn't He? Either you'll meet Him through death if you know Him, or the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Either way, we will give an account, won't we? I have to ask this question right here, right now. Some of you are here today without Jesus Christ. You've heard the gospel. God's Spirit has prompted you at times. At times you've said, I need to trust Him. I need to take that step of faith. I need to accept His free gift. I need to do that. And then you find some, or maybe I should say, the enemy will give you some reason to put it off. Individuals step into eternity, from little ones to older ones, every day. You don't have tomorrow. There's an urgency to the gospel. Whatever reason you would place out there of saying, you know what, one of these days, and putting it off is a real poor reason to take a risk of just spending eternity without Christ, missing the greatest blessing you could ever have in knowing Him. I want to urge you today, I make an appeal to you today, to be reconciled to God, to humble yourself, acknowledge your sin, come to Him. Today. Some of you today are here, and as I've gone through this today, God's just blazed in your heart this thought about someone you need to be reconciled with. And it's not the first time. And you've put it off. You keep putting it off, and the enemy keeps having the victory. You can't go forward with peace and the joy that there is in serving Christ, being reconciled to those who you've needed to be reconciled with. When are you going to do it? It's a high part, a price to pay, friend. And boy, does it cost. You know, that I mentioned a week ago, and I'm going to say it again, there's a church today that I know of that at one time was flourishing, doing a lot of great stuff for the Lord. Should I say the Lord doing a lot of great stuff through them. And if you were there today, you would be one who would be there, and you would see that the church now has been fractured, if you knew all the history of it. It's been fractured. They fought. They've been irreconcilable. They placed blame. And they've refused to extend forgiveness. And they are in the single digits. And let me tell you, all of hell is pleased with that. This is nothing to toy with. So if God, brother, sister in Christ, if God is speaking to your heart today and you need to go, go. And if you happen to be one of those who someone comes up and says, you know what, I was offended and it's really hurt our relationship and whatever it is, and I need to seek your forgiveness, you be the one that says, I grant you that forgiveness. It's been some time ago. An individual came up to me and said, Pastor, I did what you've been talking about. I said, well, I don't know what that is. There was an offense, and that offense went back nearly 20 years with an individual in Christ. God finally got a hold of them, and they went. They got the forgiveness extended. I don't remember what the circumstance was. But as this individual is saying this to me, they're beaming. They're beaming. And I said, praise God. But you know what? I think they would say to you, I spent, let's say it was 20 years. I know it was near. It may have been over. I spent 20 years holding back the extension of that grace, holding back on reconciliation when I should have done it and experienced the joy that I now have. I know they would have said that. What are you waiting for? Paul says, at the same time, also prepare a place for lodging. I'll see you, Philemon. We're not told if these guys reconciled, but I have to tell you, there's no way I believe they didn't. I believe it was done. And Paul says, I'll be there. Then he mentions these individuals, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. By the way, Paul never called others to do something he would not do. Let me just mention that, because he's mentioning some individuals here. He has, if you look in the scripture, there are over 100 individuals that Paul was connected with in ministry. And let me tell you, if you and I think that somehow they always work together without any friction from one another, you're dreaming, and the scripture doesn't bear that forth. Matter of fact, Paul, at one point in his life, had a real falling out. It's back in the book of Acts. You'll find it in that 13th chapter. The first missionary journey, Barnabas and he were sent out. And he mentions these individuals here. He mentions Epaphras. But then he goes on to talk about Mark. You'll know him as John Mark, the individual that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas and Paul were sent out on a missionary journey. They were sent out, and they took with them a young man by the name of Mark. And Mark, in Acts 13, we find out, I think it's verse 15, 13, he deserted them there. Now, they were on this missions journey. He was there to help them, and whatever reason, he left. Barnabas and Paul were left there alone. Well, there's a time for another missionary journey. And Barnabas, who's, I believe he's a relative of Mark, says, hey, what about Mark? Paul says, uh-uh. He's not going with us. And there was such friction that Paul and Barnabas separated. Paul took Silas. Barnabas took Mark. There's a lot we don't know. But we certainly can see that at some point in time, guess who Paul was reconciled with? Mark. Look at here, verse 24. As do, you know, he says, they send their greetings, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. Fellow worker. At some point, Paul and Mark were reconciled. What great joy. What great joy there had to be there that day. Grace enables us to do that. Do you see that in verse 25? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that's really where it's at. Friend, don't think that God wouldn't call us to do something He would not empower us to do. There's grace for that. There's grace for that. You may go, it may be uncomfortable, it may be difficult. Listen, make sure you're prayed up. Make sure you're confessed up with the Lord. Make sure your relationship with Him is right. And then you deal with this. And let me tell you, we must, and there is great relief there for you and I. What's the big deal with extending and seeking forgiveness where offense has been made? Well, it affects your ability to minister in the body. It affects your ability to minister with those around you. It affects your ability in your family. It affects your ability in every relationship. But it affects the body itself. It affects the body itself. There are groups of individuals today, churches, that have been fractured and blown apart because someone has said, I will not forgive. I will not seek forgiveness. I will not be reconciled. We are ignorant and foolish to think that it could never happen to us. It could. And that's probably where it would start, is if we could think we're so spiritual, we're so close, we're so unified, that this could never be an issue. You know, the Scripture talks about being careful. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Pride will take you there. Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. That's written to believers. We can do the work of the enemy. If you need to be reconciled, reconcile today. Don't wait. I want to encourage you to do that. I believe it allows the body of Christ to go forward with Him as it needs to. Reconciliation needs to be a way of life for every believer. Where has God touched you today? Where has He touched you today? Take care of it today. God will empower you to do it by His grace. Let's pray. Loving Father, I thank You that You have seen that as Your children, we will need at times to be forgiven. We'll need to extend that forgiveness. We'll need to come repentance over the issue, and we'll need to be reconciled together. And Lord, I pray for that joy that is there for each of us, that we will have it, and that we will act in such a way as to gain it. We can have peace. We can be at one in unity and harmony as we serve for Your glorious name. Lord, where You need to cut, I pray You'd cut. Where You need to challenge, may You challenge. Where You need to move us, will You move us. I pray You find us humbly before You, that we might be all that we can be for Your name and for Your honor. And we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.